Seinfeld's Elaine Benes is one of the most iconic and hilarious characters of the 90s, played by the comedy legend Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She stood out for being the only woman of the friend group, but also because she was, at least at first, also less cynical than her friends. Her confidence and unapologetic attitude were refreshing and radical, and her character opened the door for so many of our faves that followed after. So let's turn back the clock and analyze what made Elaine so different, why she became such an iconic and beloved character, and how even if she wasn't always a great person, she still managed to be a new kind of role model. Originally introduced as Jerry's ex-girlfriend with a humanitarian but somewhat snobbish personality, Elaine occupies a strange position in this cynical crew of professional slackers. For starters, she isn't a New York native like Jerry, George, and Kramer. Elaine grew up in Maryland, and according to Jerry, had a fairly cushy upbringing.
How about our little Elaine, huh? Attended the finest finishing schools on the Eastern Seaboard, equestrian competitions, debutante balls. Look at her now. Interviewing Moyles.
Elaine is emblematic of a certain kind of city transplant. She's an educated, privileged white woman with liberal values, not afraid to stand up for what's right, even when her pleas fall on deaf ears.
Tuna?
Oh, the dolphin thing?
We're dying in the net.
You know, the whole concept of lunch is based on tuna.
Over time, we begin to see the cracks in Elaine's external moral righteousness, revealing her to be just as narcissistic and judgmental as the rest of her friend group. Elaine's character arc is on brand for co-creators Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld's sardonic sense of humor. The secret sauce in David and Seinfeld's comedic prowess is that everyone is fair game, especially those in society who care more about appearing ethical to further their own agendas. Sound familiar?
No, don't touch the hair.
So why do we love Elaine despite all her character flaws? She speaks her mind, regardless of the consequences, and isn't afraid to challenge societal or gender norms, even if it makes her somewhat of a pariah.
They act as if having a baby takes some kind of talent.
Come on, you want to have a baby?
Why? Because I can?
She's an agent of chaos and behaves in a way that was considered radical for women on television in the 90s.
Oh, all right. You think I've got germs? I'll give you some germs.
In other words, Elaine Benes was a character ahead of her time. She's ambitious, honest, confident in her sexuality, and utterly self-serving. When Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld pitched the series to NBC, the network said it was too male-centric and would only greenlight Seinfeld on the condition they add a female cast member, which explains why Elaine appears in the second episode and not the pilot. Typical of male writers, Elaine's journey begins in close proximity to Jerry as his ex-girlfriend, now friend, and there's a feeling of tension between them as they navigate a new platonic terrain.
Wall Street.
Ah, high finance. Bulls, bears, people from Connecticut.
And he happens to be pretty good looking.
All right, sir.
As the show goes on, Elaine and Jerry grow more comfortable talking about their dating lives, and through Jerry, Elaine becomes friends with George and Kramer. As the only woman in a predominantly male friend group, Elaine falls into the potential trappings of the pick-me-girl archetype, which has become a meme-worthy term for women who prioritize male validation by framing themselves superior to other women.
Elaine the mollusk travels from Alaska to Chile just for a shot at another mollusk. You think you're any better?
Yes. I think I am better than the mollusk.
And while it is suspect that Elaine doesn't have any close girlfriends on the show, she doesn't really fit into the pick-me-girl trope either. Especially given the fact that she bullies Jerry, George, and Kramer relentlessly, and often puts them in their place when they deserve it.
Elaine, what is wrong with my body?
Chicken wing shoulder blades.
That being said, Elaine is also far from a girl's girl, and is more concerned about advancing her own career and personal agenda than lifting up other women.
You know what? I don't have one female friend left.
Oh, no, of course you don't. You're a man's woman. You hate other women and they hate you?
Which is what makes her such an enigma and arguably a trailblazer in the sitcom landscape, which allowed for more morally flawed female characters that were also beloved for their relatability.
Girls are so pretty. You should smile.
Elaine's character defies the categories that women are often put in comedy, such as the bimbo or nag stereotypes, which allowed her to move on an equal playing field with the men on the show. Rivaling Jerry, Elaine has a rotating Rolodex of men she dates, who she typically breaks up with at the end of each episode over petty grievances.
Like the way I'm talking right now, I would put exclamation points at the ends of all of these sentences, on this one and on that one!
Well, you can put one on this one. I'm leaving!
And while her love life is central to her storylines, Elaine ultimately always chooses herself, which is rare for a female character in a TV genre that often relegated women to desperate for love stereotypes.
What am I doing? I'm on a date with this guy? Because he didn't remember me? He's demented. Listen to him.
Elaine never compromises. She goes after what she wants no matter what. It can be hard for us in real life to do the same when it seems like there are so many things in life you have to compromise on. Like finding a nice apartment, but with a neighbor learning to play drums at all hours of the night. Or finding a new favorite show and just having to hope it doesn't get canceled. But the one place you shouldn't have to compromise is your health. So don't skip out on making an appointment because there's such a hassle to book, or go back to that one doctor who doesn't even seem to listen to anything you have to say during the appointment. Instead, check out today's sponsor, ZocDoc, the place where you can easily find and book doctors who will listen to you, make you feel comfortable, and prioritize your health. They make it super easy. You can search by location, availability, and insurance, so you won't feel forced to make any compromises. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You can read through reviews from real patients to get a feel for each doctor, and then when you find one you like, you can book them instantly. No need to call and listen to bad hold music while hoping they'll have an availability. There are tens of thousands of top-rated, credible doctors and specialists to choose from, and you can easily filter them to find the ones that are actually near you, take your insurance, and treat pretty much any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours, and you can even score same-day appointments. Using ZocDoc has made finding and booking a doctor so much easier for me. If you want to give them a try, go to ZocDoc.com/thetake and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/thetake. ZocDoc.com/thetake.
Seinfeld constantly pokes at society's assumptions about people, especially differences concerning men and women. These binary assumptions often come up in conversation between Elaine and the gang, where Elaine dispels them of their ignorant notions.
With me?
Well.
You faked with me?
Yeah.
You faked with me?
Yes.
In one episode, the group makes a bet with each other on who can stay abstinent the longest. The guys, of course, assume Elaine won't participate in the game because they believe women aren't as sexual as men.
We have to do it. It's part of our lifestyle. It's like shaving.
Oh, that is such a baloney. I shave my legs.
Not every day.
Ironically, Elaine is the first to lose the bet when she catches the eye of John Kennedy Jr. at a yoga class and nearly goes mad with desire.
I think you made quite an impression on him yesterday.
What? What? Who? Me? I made an impression? What impression?
Let me just put this back.
No, now! Tell me now!
The show at times plays with the classic sitcom dynamic of the woman being desired by her male friend group, especially with Jerry and Elaine's will-they-won't-they situation early on. But to the show's credit, Jerry and Elaine don't end up together. It's clear that Elaine, despite having a history with Jerry, has no intention of being with him or any of the other men in their friend group. As a character, she was given her own agency to go out and date and sleep with guys in a way that at the time was usually reserved for male characters.
You don't think she'd yada yada sex?
I've yada yadded sex.
But you yada yadded over the best part.
No, I mentioned the bisque.
Elaine didn't need to be in love, let alone in like, with the men she dated. Sometimes her desire to be with a man was just as shallow as Jerry's or George's motives.
He's a limbo.
He's an exciting, charismatic man who just happens to have a perfect face.
Oh, I thought you didn't care about his looks.
I lied.
And it's worth noting her on-and-off relationship with David Putty, who she didn't even like that much, was purely physical.
That's so sweet.
Come here. All right, I gotta go home and get changed before the game. I'll be back, we'll make out.
In the 90s, feminism expanded even further into the realm of sexual politics, advocating for women to reclaim their sexuality as a form of empowerment that existed outside the institution of marriage. However, it was still pretty taboo for women to talk about birth control on TV, which made Elaine's openness about her sex life and her sponge on Seinfeld so radical for its time.
I was talking to this guy, you know, and I just happened to throw my purse on the sofa, and my diaphragm goes flying out.
Elaine wasn't embarrassed about being sexual, even finding the humor in things that should be embarrassing. She helped destigmatize important conversations about sex, like, for example, chiding George for not knowing what birth control his fiancée uses.
Women are really loyal to their birth control methods. What does Susan use?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I figure it's something.
She also doesn't pander to society's expectations about women needing to be modest with their sexuality.
Yeah, 25 sponges is just fine.
25?
Yeah.
You said with 25?
Yeah. Just give me the whole case, I'll be on my way.
In addition to her friendship with the guys and the ups and downs of her love life, the biggest focus of Elaine's story was her work life as an editor in the publishing industry.
There seems to be an inordinate number of exclamations.
I felt that the writing lacked a certain emotion and intensity.
Aside from Jerry, Elaine has the most stable career in her friend group and even enjoys her job, which supports her independent lifestyle and became fertile ground for side stories that spun comedy gold out of everyday grievances at a 9-to-5 corporate job.
Hey, Walter, what is the deal with that guy?
He's Lou Feilerman. He's new here. Hey, your coffee stain looks like Fidel Castro.
You've been an enormous help.
From egocentric bosses to mandatory birthday celebrations, some of Elaine's funniest moments are when she struggles to uphold social niceties in a corporate atmosphere.
You know, there are 200 people who work in this office. Every day is somebody's special day.
In season 5, Elaine finally gets the promotion she's sought after for years at Pendant.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. I mean, of course I deserve it.
Well, you're really on your way now.
But in typical Seinfeldian fashion, fate has other plans. Her addiction to jujifruit candy stops her from giving a sniveling Mr. Lipman his handkerchief, which leads to a disastrous end to a merger deal that was supposed to save the company.
Why'd you have to eat so many?
Because they're jujifruit. I like them.
I didn't know it would start a chain reaction that would lead to the end of Pendant Publishing.
From that point on, Elaine embarks on a downward career trajectory, working for eccentric egomaniacs like Mr. Lip and the adventurous catalog CEO, Jay Peterson. And while her chaotic work life is often exaggerated for comedic effect, what Elaine experiences as a woman trying to save her career is painfully relatable.
Grace isn't something you can pick up at the market.
All right, look, I don't have grace. I don't want a grace. I don't even say grace, okay?
Thank you for coming in.
She has to finesse her way into a job.
Charmed.
I was a great admirer of Mrs. Onassis.
Only to suffer under the tyranny of a rich man who has too much time on his hands. Her season with Mr. Lip is emblematic of women who burn out trying to impress their male bosses, only to get screwed over in the end.
You're fired, Elaine. Goodbye.
When she lands a job at J. Peterman Catalog, her work life gets even more absurd as she becomes entangled in Peterman's extravagant schemes and bizarre adventures.
Are you an assassin?
I work for your mail order catalog.
While Peterman is a kinder boss than Mr. Lip, he's also a terrible boss, putting Elaine in situations that are above her pay grade.
The letter of authenticity is in the side pocket there.
I never knew Kennedy had such a temper.
Oh, yeah. The only thing worse was his slice.
But then something miraculous happens. Elaine gets her big break.
I can run that catalog no longer.
What? Who's gonna do it?
What about you?
Me? Why me?
Why indeed?
All those years of drudgery and shoulder rubbing have finally paid off. But even when the opportunity arises, Elaine second-guesses herself. Again, Seinfeld veers into social commentary while being characteristically unserious.
No one's gonna listen to you.
I am not qualified to run the catalog.
You're not qualified to work at the catalog.
Elaine's reaction is common for women who get promoted to a senior rank. 75% of female executives experience imposter syndrome in the workplace. As Luciana Paulese puts it, despite having education, certifications, and training, it is hard for women to feel comfortable with who they are and see their worth. Ironically, it's Kramer, the unemployed grifter of the group, who reminds Elaine what she's capable of.
I can't run the catalog.
Whoa. Can't? When did that word enter your vocabulary?
I know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Pair of pants, stupid story, a huge markup, I can do that.
And Elaine takes to power like a duck to water. Of course, the power goes to her head, and Elaine's inflated ego is warped into the butt of a joke.
Guess who just finished laying out her first issue of the J. Peterman catalog?
How's it look?
It's a peach!
When she discovers that Kramer's career advice was inspired by a kid's karate class, Elaine is quickly humbled and realizes that her first big splash as the new boss was a big flop.
What is that?
The urban sombrero. I put it on the cover.
Elaine is a perfect representation of a satirical early girl boss, fumbling her way professionally and rolling with whatever punches karma has in store for her and the gang, while never losing her confidence. Elaine's career trajectory takes another turn when she leaves Jay Peterman and briefly pursues her entrepreneurial aspirations. She partners with Kramer to start a business selling muffin tops, capitalizing on the popular part of the muffin while discarding the bottoms.
It's where the muffin breaks free of the pan and sort of does its own thing.
Despite initial success, their venture ultimately fails due to health code violations and the impracticality of their business model. Following the failure of the muffin top business flop, Elaine returns to editing at Pendant Publishing, but that doesn't mean she's free from misadventure.
No point in wasting $1,200.
Oh, Commander! Isn't the wedding marvelous? My cake? Oh, I shouldn't. I mustn't.
What the hell?
If there's one thing Elaine Benes teaches us, it's that sometimes enough is enough.
Elaine, you don't like the movie?
I hate it! I'm going to hell!
Fire.
Great, I'll wait for you outside.
Elaine doesn't mince her words, especially around men, even if it gets her labeled as difficult. Elaine is difficult, and that's why she's such an iconic character. She doesn't cater to society's expectations of what women want or should be.
Elaine, you gotta have a baby! Oh, hey, you know, I had a piece of whitefish over at Barney Greengrass the other day.
And she sticks to her values, even if it costs her a relationship. Elaine is untethered from many of the gender roles that often pigeonholed women into one-dimensional roles in 90s film and TV, and instead showcased a much more realistic and relatable version of womanhood. Even her comedic outbursts are still very much rooted in her experience as a woman in a friend group of vain, ridiculous men.
I don't like this thing!
The Elaine shove was apparently improvised by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who drew from her own experience as a woman having to be aggressive in the male-dominated comedy scene. The shove elicited so many laughs from the audience that it became a signature trademark of the series, showing the guys flying off screen whenever Elaine expressed her excitement or anger physically. We wouldn't have shows like Sex and the City or Girls without characters like Elaine Benes, who normalized women being weird, difficult, unapologetic, and having healthy, casual sex lives. Let alone sitcoms featuring self-obsessed, zany protagonists like Abby and Alana from Broad City. Elaine was a trailblazer for women in TV comedies in particular, allowing them to move in ways that were historically so often only afforded to men. And while she may not be the most ethical character, Elaine reminds us how liberating it can feel to speak one's mind, even if you're the only one laughing in the room.
I have lost my fiancé, the poor baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
What?
The dingo ate your baby.
That's The Take. Click here to watch a video we think you'll love, or here to check out a whole playlist of awesome content. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And make sure to subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive new videos.